Some things shouldn't be transparent, like stop signs. But what you pay for should always be clear, like Hiller's True Transparency Pricing. Always clearly itemized and never any hidden fees. Because you have the right to know what you're paying for. For more information, visit happyhiller.com/true transparency pricing. Happy you'll be, or the service is free.
Call the Happy Face Truck today.
Austin Price wishes he could be there, but he's going to be preparing for a big orange and white game tomorrow.
He's probably going to bed early.
Austin Price, VolQuest.com. You can follow him on Twitter at Austin Priceless. What's up, Austin? How are you?
What's going on, guys? How are you?
Doing great. Big orange and white game. We're actually going to see a game tomorrow, right?
I guess we are. I mean, that's the talk. And, you know, we're going to see one-on-one, good-on-good. And, you know, it's not a lot of time.
Hey, Austin, we're going to have to reconnect with you, man. We can't hear you on that. Sorry. Whatever's going on, we got to change it up.
We'll get a better connection with Austin.
Yeah.
We got to get into the Fulmer 4-year extension. Maybe not a surprise to most, but it does show stability for the athletic department.
I've decided that just out of a courtesy to the listeners and to our guests, the moment we hear something for longer than 3 seconds, yeah, I'm just going to call it out and
intervene.
End it. I'm just going to step in and say it. We'll call him back.
We did that the other day with somebody
else. I'm on board with it if it's a caller from Knoxville.
Yeah, yes. We did it with who was crackling the other day. We did it with somebody that was crackling the other day.
It was like a popping.
Yeah, it was Warren Sharp, I think.
It was Warren Sharp, and it was after one question.
He was much better after that.
Yeah,
all right, Austin's back.
I fixed it. Is much better now.
I fixed it.
Austin, you're back.
I'm back.
Much better.
Stability for the athletic department. We were briefly chatting about there for Philip Fulmer to receive the 4-year extension. Maybe not a surprise, but what does it tell you about the direction the department is headed?
Well, I think it tells you that, you know, the ultimately the board of trustees, the president, the chancellor, everybody is trying to row in the same direction, and that starts with the athletic director Philip Fulmer, who talked openly yesterday with the media following the signing of his 4-year extension that. You know, when he made the hire, you know, he liked the hire, but he still wasn't totally sure. You never truly are because you've interviewed, you know, a couple of different candidates. But the more he's gotten to be around Jeremy Pruitt and company, the more that he's really liked what he saw. You know, Coach Fulmer stating, you know, I know what a good practice looks like. I know what good tempo looks like. And he really likes the staff that Jeremy Pruitt's put together. And he has a full belief that Pruitt, you know, given time, I mean, it's not going to be a snap of a finger overnight deal, but you know, given time, we'll be successful at Tennessee.
I know today that Tennessee released the rosters for the orange and white game, and you get to see a depth chart there, first and second teamers on both sides of the ball. Austin, when you look through it, did anything jump out to you as a bit of a surprise, either a guy that's on the first team or maybe a guy that you thought was going to be on the first team that's actually on the second team?
Well, I wondered where DeAndre Johnson would be. You go out there at practice, he's somebody that draws a lot of praise. Unlike Jordan Allen, the JUCO, who routinely is having to, you know, redo his rep, you know, for Chris Rump constantly. I mean, it's over and over and over again. One time in one practice, 6 different times he had to redo the rep. You know, DeAndre Johnson's done nothing but draw praise. He looks like he's tailor-made for that, you know, outside backer position in a 3-4 defense, and he's with the one. So I think that tells me a lot about where they want to play him this fall. I think they'd love to play him opposite Daryl Taylor if they can. And, he's somebody I'm interested in seeing tomorrow. We talked about this on the VolQuest podcast today. You know, what defensive guy, what offensive guy am I looking forward to seeing? Defensively, it is DeAndre Johnson. Offensively, I'll go with any of those young receivers to see if they can make any kind of impact if Jared Garantano and the quarterbacks get time to throw it.
A young receiver I thought we were going to see and get a first glimpse of tomorrow was going to be Alante Taylor from Coffee County High School. But he's playing defensive back in the game tomorrow. I thought that was going to be a quicker switch to the defensive side of the ball, and he'd probably bounce back for the orange and white game. But he will play DB tomorrow. What does that tell you, if anything, right now, Austin?
I think it just tells you that they like what they've seen out of Alante, and they like to finish out spring practice with him there. I don't think he's locked into that position. But if that's where he can be the full-time starter and they feel like he can help, I think Alante would be totally good with the switch. I think ultimately his heart lies on offense. But, you know, Jesse Simonton is we didn't make a bet, but he's swearing tomorrow he thinks Alante's going to play both ways. So we'll see if that happens. You know, I do think that Alante has done a huge, bonus to himself this spring with his, willingness to make the switch. I think when they told Greg Emerson, I'm not sure he was just like all giddy. I mean, he made the move. He did what's right as a young player should, but I'm not sure he was totally bought in to the move like Alante was. Alante jumped at it and went over there and has done fairly well, learning on the fly. He's still very green, but learning on the fly.
You know, Jeremy Pruitt is really using this, as we said, as an evaluation tool this game, and he wants it to be as game-like as possible. So with all that out there, how much can Jarrett Garantano help himself to be the starting quarterback tomorrow in this game?
I mean, I think he can help himself. The one thing Jarrett's got going for him, and I think it's the one thing Pruitt really likes about him, and he did it a year ago, he doesn't turn the football over. I mean, he's really savvy with the ball in his hands. If something's not there, he throws it away. And that's shocking when you consider that most, quarterbacks with a big arm and the bravado that Garantano kind of carries, they have a tendency to force things. And he does not do that. Now, he's going to have to be quicker with his decision-making than he was a year ago. He knows that. And I think he's taking a step forward to spring with that. But, I don't buy too much into the spring game. A year ago, Quinn Dormady was 10-10. Hit the Juwan Jennings, cutout from the Georgia game from the year before in this quarterback skills competition, and everybody just anointed Quinn Dormady the next coming of Joe Montana. And he may be at Houston this year. I think he bounces back, honestly, because, given time, not a lot of defense, he can pinpoint throw it. But I just don't buy a whole lot into the spring game just because a year ago, and there have been a lot of guys that have been spring superstars that got to the fall and were fall failures. So, I think for Jerry Garantano, it's all about continuing to improve, show you can make some plays. But he does not have to be perfect tomorrow to cement himself as the quarterback going forward.
Pruitt is treating this like a true game day, right? There was some talk that they were even going to stay in a hotel tonight. I don't think they're doing that, but everything from meetings in the morning to pregame meals, it's all leading up like it would on a Saturday.
To the Vol walk, I believe, right, Austin?
Yeah, Vol walk's at 12:55 Eastern, so 11:55 Central for those heading over from the mid-state for the game. But 12:55 Eastern is the Vol walk, which is an hour and 5 minutes before the RJY game starts. It's normally 2 hours and 15 minutes before, so adjust your clocks accordingly. Trying to make it like a game feel as much as one can be. I mean, let's say they have, we talked about it on Tuesday, if they have an unbelievable crowd, let's say 50,000, that's still half empty. So, I mean, like, and I think that's one of those things that's kind of a big question mark heading into these official visitors this weekend with Jalen Curry and Chris Bogle and Wanya Morris. They're coming in and there's a game, but it's not a real game. So it's hard to get a true feel for what the atmosphere is like on a Saturday in the fall for these three official visitors coming in this weekend. So, it'll be a game, but, it's still the spring game.
You caught up with Lance Wilhoit recently. I know he planned on visiting Tennessee and Clemson last weekend, but ended up staying in Knoxville. What kept him from the visit with Clemson, and what were his thoughts on the visit to Tennessee?
I think he just got to Knoxville so late on Friday night that it just, he didn't want to just like be there for 5 minutes and then going over to Clemson. So, I think that would have been doing a disservice to Tennessee and Clemson, trying to fit both into that short window. And so I think he just decided to stick it out, go and see the scrimmage on Saturday night at Neyland Stadium, and just spend time around the staff. It was his first, like, real, legit amount of time around the Tennessee staff. And he got to spend a lot of time with David Johnson and Tyson Helton and Jeremy Pruitt. And, of course, Terry Fair is recruiting that area. So, he's kind of got a relationship with a lot of those guys on staff. And Tennessee's, I'm not going to call him the leader, but he, as he said, they're back amongst the top group of schools, and that includes Arkansas, Ohio State, and Oregon. So those are kind of the top four for him right now, with Clemson and Florida State also in the mix. But, Tennessee obviously did themselves a lot of favors with Lance Wilhoit last weekend. They showed him a good time. And more than anything, I think they showed him that they need a player like him in the wide receiver room, because he is if not the best player in the state, one of the best players in the state of Tennessee.
How big is this weekend for Tennessee in regards to Wanya Morris, the big offensive tackle?
It's huge. He took kind of a secret trip to Auburn on Tuesday with his mom. She had not been to Auburn before. it's Auburn and Tennessee, and right now kind of Auburn has old man Mo on its side. Can Tennessee kind of get it back? You know, even if they do get it back, he's slated to go officially to Auburn next weekend. He's got a couple of teammates, one a center who's committed to Auburn, another one, Owen Popoa, the linebacker, who is a really, really top-notch stud at his position, leaning towards Auburn, between Auburn and Georgia in that recruitment. And so, you know, with those teammates, you know, involved in Auburn, kind of gives Auburn a little bit the leg up. But can Tennessee do enough this weekend to make him think, you know, before he commits on May 1st? Either way, I think this one's going to twist and turn 10 different times between now and December.
Philip Fulmer, I know, met with the media yesterday also. Did anything jump out to you about his statements, the time frame? I mean, him essentially saying that this will be 4 years and he'll be done. He doesn't want to overstay his welcome. What jumped out to you about his meeting with the media?
Well, I think he felt like 4 years is kind of the right amount of time. I'll say this. If things are really going well in 4 years and Coach Fulmer is having a, you know, fun and doing a good job, I can see him staying past 4 years. But I think he wants to give himself an adequate amount of time, give Jeremy and anybody that he hires an adequate amount of time, you know, to try to get this thing going in the right direction. You know, he penned that letter to Jeremy Pruitt yesterday. I'm sure everybody saw it on Twitter. You know, he sees and envisions this thing turning around. And I don't think that, I mean, I think he knows it's not going to turn around tomorrow, but over the course of time, he feels like this staff is well equipped, and he's going to do everything in his power to make sure they're well equipped to put Tennessee back in the mix, so to speak, as Coach Dick used to speak. You want to be in the mix, and they've not been in the mix in quite a while. And can they well, they were in the mix a couple of years ago, but can they consistently be in the mix year in, year out in the East?
Do you think part of what he needs to do here is get and train a right-hand man, if you will?
Yeah, I do think so, Paul. I mean, I think ultimately if he could add the right guy as his kind of number two and train him, I think that makes a lot of sense. You know, there's always been those rumors about Todd Stewart at Western Kentucky because of his ties. Up here, you know, he knows Peyton really well and Coach Fulmer. You know, does that happen? Who knows? It makes sense, though, to kind of get somebody underneath him that he's going to train, that, you know, will understand the traditions and all that goes into it, and maybe even learn to look at things from a coach's perspective. So many ADs, I think, you know, forget, you know, they're, you know, if they've not been a coach before, what it's like, or fail to understand what it's like to be a coach. And so, you know, if Coach Fulmer can add that perspective to whoever he, you know, potentially trains over the course of the next few years, I think that may equip that person to understand each and every little thing and have them better equipped to be an athletic director.
Do you expect a contract extension for Rick Barnes to be announced soon?
I do. I think that's coming. I'll be interested to see, you know, if he, you know, passes on a raise for himself to put it more towards his staff. I would venture to say that's what he'll do because I, you know, Rick Barnes doesn't care about that kind of thing. I mean, he doesn't blink an eye at that kind of stuff. He just wants to coach and impact lives and he would rather take care of, you know, his, you know, coaches that coach for him than take care of himself. I mean, you know, he's coached for a long time. He's done a nice job with the financials. So, I think he would much rather, you know, that extra money go to, you know, Des Oliver or Michael Schwartz, you know, or any of his, you know, any of his assistants like Rob Lanier. So who have honestly had opportunities to go elsewhere and continue to see more and more interest to go elsewhere.
So orange and white game, 1 p.m. Central Time tomorrow in Knoxville. You can hear it right here on 104.5 The Zone. Austin, leave us with this. Give us one prediction of something you expect to see tomorrow in this game.
Chad hung over after the Preds with
him. I like it.
yeah.
Guy knows how to predict.
That's a solid prediction. Vegas would like your odds there.
I'm going to go with Austin Pope to make some plays and Ty Chandler to do what Ty Chandler knows how to do.
I like it. Austin, thanks so much, man.
Austin, we look forward to your coverage of the game.
Thanks, guys. Take care, Chad, after tonight.
Yeah, we will. Talk to you on Monday.
Austin, see you tomorrow. Price. Have an IV for me.
VolQuest.com. Follow him on Twitter @AustinPriceless.
I'm I'm more interested in this orange and white game than I have in years past, only because Jeremy Pruitt has kept everything such a secret. And now they're just going to go out there and play a game.
Yeah, no more secrets.
You're going to see the offense. You're going to see the defense. I mean, granted, it's not going to be, you know, they're not going to game plan like they would against Georgia. But you're going to see an actual...
And the plan.
Be a lot more than we know.
Yeah, you're going to see what type of formations they go into. You're going to see who's on the field the most. Who are they throwing to? There's a lot of different things you're going to see in this game. And he talked about Ty Chandler. He's kind of the lost guy in this. He's almost the forgotten man, but he's the guy that still emerges as the guy at running back. No surprise there, but he's still the guy.
The plan is to give the first teams, what, about 80 snaps, I believe? Like a full game's worth.
Yeah. I mean, I like how they've divided the teams. It's going to be interesting to see what it looks like and what the score, you know, it's going to be an actual score. They're not going to have this NBA All-Star scoring system where it's 120 to 105. So it'll be interesting only from the standpoint of you get to see a little bit of the new personnel, but you get to see the new system that Jeremy Pruitt eventually wants to run at Tennessee. And I was reading VolQuest this morning, and they brought up a good point. They said, regardless of what you see in this orange and white game, this can't be the team you see in September. There's no way Tennessee can compete with the team you're going to see tomorrow. They've got to get Trey Smith back. They've got to get a guy like K'Ron Calvert from Warren County. They've got to get him healthy and ready to contribute. Darren Kirkland Jr., Juwan Jennings, those guys who have been on the side working out with Craig Fitzgerald, the strength coach, they have to get those guys back and contributing. If they are going to have a, let's say, a 7-win season, which I think would be a great year for Tennessee this season, if they're going to do that, those guys have to be back and ready to go.